Hey, welcome to the Super Mercado Brothers video game music podcast.
How's it going, everybody? This is episode 3. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Will Brueggemann.
And I am his brother, Carl Brueggemann. It's great to be with you guys. Today, we're going to be doing something a little different than our first two episodes. The name of today's podcast is Show and Tell Volume 1.
Yeah, and this is sort of a thing that we'd like to get started, maybe just a habit to get into. We're going to do a podcast like this every 2 months or so, and it'll basically just be me and Carl both picking 13 or so tracks that we're interested in showing on the podcast, certain things that
Not necessarily our favorite tracks, but just things we kind of are in the mood to bring in for the week.
Yeah, maybe something new that we discovered during the
week. There's definitely one track here today that was brand new that I discovered kind of preparing for this. So that's always fun to discover a new gem. But yeah, most of mine are just, you know, favorites that I've had for years.
Yeah, so today we're trying to get away from composers that we've talked about in the last two episodes. So you'll probably hear some maybe less known things.
Yeah, there's particularly one who starts with a K that we won't mention. We're not even going to say it right now.
Yeah, we're also, I think, well, I sort of failed miserably in this, but Carl definitely, we're trying to expand the different generations of
video game
music. Yeah,
I tried to have
music.
Some variety. I feel like you kind of lost the memo.
Well, I think you took all the good ones, so that's where I'm coming from.
Excuses. How's it going this week, Will? You doing good?
I'm doing okay. Somebody spilled water all over these cables before we started recording, and we weren't able to record.
What an idiot. No, that was me, guys. Sorry. But we're finally back up and running. So, do you want to start this off, or should I?
Want to rock, paper, scissors? I don't...
Okay, here we go. Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Okay, Will's going to start it off.
I got a scissors, and he got a paper, so scissors is greater than paper.
You'll have to believe us on that one.
And I'll start off here. So, the first track I'm playing for you today is called Stalker. It's from Castlevania for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, this great game, great soundtrack. This track, well, I don't actually know who wrote this, but the two
so
composers
you didn't prepare for this week?
No, I did. The two composers for this game are Kinyo Yamashita and Sato Terashima.
Mm, you can't tell based on their stylistic, you know, differences, like who composed this one? Because, you know, for me, I kind of, you know...
Yeah, I forgot to check who did this one, but anyway...
That's okay,
This is the second level in the game. It's called Stalker, and let's hear it.
All right, this is Stalker from Castlevania.
That is Stalker from Castlevania for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
That's a cool track. It's very devious sounding.
Yeah, I really like when this part right here, I like when this comes in. The harmonies and melody, they work so well together.
Yeah, I like how the harmonies have kind of have a chromatic descending, but the melody stays on that same note.
Yeah.
That's a really cool effect.
That's not something I feel like you hear a lot in NES music. It's very haunting. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Great use of just the limited channels. It sounds full. It's what I kind of like about this Castlevania music is it's scary, but it's really goofy sounding too. Kind of, it's something about it's kind of like a, I don't know. It's silly. It's scary, silly. Yeah. Does that fit the vibe of the game?
Yeah, I really think that fits the vibe of at least the original few Castlevania games. it's a little bit more, it represents some of the old school horror cliches like Frankenstein and Dracula and the Mummy. And so there's a little bit of camp value to these games, and I think that shows in the music.
Because I don't have much experience with them, but I have played more of the recent ones, and I feel like that's a little bit, they kind of get a little bit less goofy.
Yeah.
That's a cool track.
Yeah, that's very good. What do you have, Carl?
My first track I'm going to play is from the Sega Genesis game Aladdin. And this game came out for the Super Nintendo as well back in the day. And the games are actually quite different. And the Genesis one is definitely way better. And this is a track called Gloomy or Gloomy Tune. I think this is this in the... What level is this? I don't think it's the dungeon.
It's
I think
either it's the dungeon or
it's the one after the dungeon.
It's the Cave of Wonders, I think.
Yeah, I think it is the Cave of Wonders.
So who wrote this music? Is it Alan Menken?
No, actually, they used some of Alan Menken's songs in the game, obviously. But in addition to that, a composer called Donald Griffin actually wrote original music for this game.
I've never heard you talk about him before.
Yeah, no, he's actually one of my favorite composers, for you guys, if you don't know that. But yeah, Donald Griffin just did a great job with the original tracks for this game. Very interesting style, very jazz-inspired for sure. But this first track I'm going to play is called Gloomy Tune, and this is what it sounds like. From Aladdin, composed by Donald Griffin. I love that track.
I love that one. Yeah, it's really cool.
There's something about it that it definitely fits for a Disney game.
Yeah, you that's know? For sure.
I'll play another track from that game in a little bit, but
yeah, Donald's
the melody
great.
Is great. It's really beautiful, but it's kind of haunting in the very beginning of it.
Ooh, what's this part?
This is the bridge.
I love the instruments in this game.
It's perfect for Aladdin, it really is. If you haven't heard the soundtrack, you should really either play this whole game or get the whole soundtrack. It's just a really good soundtrack.
Which is fitting because the movie has a great soundtrack as well. Well, I think I'm going to take back the stage and play another track of mine.
Okay.
This is actually another one from Castlevania. And this is the third level. And the track is called Wicked Child. Once again, this is by Kinyo Yamashita and Sato Terashima.
Here is Wicked Child.
That's Wicked Child from Castlevania for the NES, and wow, I love this one.
It's so melodic and really, really like exciting.
Incredibly melodic. Oh, it's just
really active bass line. Like the
oh, definitely. I really love, I think we just missed it there, but it transitions so well back into the melody.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool, because right here it sort of builds up, and then it won't loop back this time, but the last time it does it, it's really cool.
I know exactly what you mean.
And it also, another thing I like about this one, it has an intro, which is, like, never repeated. It doesn't loop back to the intro.
Yeah. But
I mainly love this one because not only is it incredibly melodic, it really just gets your blood pumping. I equate it to almost sort of like, it makes me think of like a montage from like a Rocky movie. If there was like a video game montage, like I can just picture someone like lifting weights and like...
Yeah, I mean, this track rocks. This track seriously rocks. Yeah, it has kind of a Mega Man sort of sensibility to it, but in some ways it's even more intense than a lot of the Mega Man tracks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a great one.
Yeah,
good pick, Will.
Faves. Thank you.
So what I'm going to play, since you played two from the same game, I'm going to play another from Aladdin by Donald Griffin. This is my favorite track from the game, without any question. I actually, in college, arranged this for an actual jazz combo that I was in, a jazz group. This is called Camel Jazz. This is the second level of the game when you're in the desert. Don't ask me what's actually going on or how it relates to the plot, because I don't really think it does. But you're in the desert, and this is the song that plays. It's called Camel Jazz by Donald Griffin. Jazz, man,
what a masterpiece.
Tracks from that era of video gaming.
Oh, that's
underappreciated.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
So it starts off with a swing feel, and halfway through turns into this Latin bossa nova groove.
I love that.
And what's so cool is the bass instrument changes, so it really puts the bass in your face in center stage.
Right.
It's just the bass is amazing.
I love
track.
The bass line. It sounds like an upright bass line.
It's actually really hard to play. The bass player in my group had a hard time playing this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here's the Latin part. So cool. Definitely a trumpet there. One of the coolest parts about this track is the counter melody that comes in pretty soon.
Oh, I love that counter melody.
It's an instrument that he uses
right
a lot in this game.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, he uses that instrument a lot in this game. It definitely kind of gives it a Middle Eastern flavor to it. Yeah, this is just such a brilliant track.
Very classic.
What you got?
Okay, so my next track is from a game, DuckTales, and great game, surprisingly. You wouldn't think that a game based off a TV show on the NES would be good, but not only is it great, it has some of the best music on NES.
Yeah, honestly, it's actually a little bit ridiculous how good the music is for this game. It shouldn't be in this game. Like, I don't understand why DuckTales has this good music. And the kind of music that it is makes no sense for the game, I feel.
It's
too good. It's too good.
Okay, me talk now. Okay, I'm just kidding. This music is by Yoshiro Sakaguchi. And the first track I'm going to be playing for you is from the level The Amazon.
Sorry if I hyped it up. It's actually not that good at all. So here's The Amazon. I mean, we don't have to play it, but I guess we'll just play it. Here we go. ¶¶
Amazon from DuckTales.
That doesn't make you smile. Something's wrong.
That's so awesome. I love
so many great things
about
this track. I love the beat that comes in on the B section. It's one of the funkiest beats. Listen. So funky.
And I gotta say, these sounds for the NES, the fact that he has that delay.
It's like ridiculously swung. It's like 100% swung. So catchy.
And I like that the range of the melody goes down from, like, in the beginning it's played in the higher register, and in that swung section the chords are in the top, and like the bass is playing the melody.
Yeah, what a happy, happy song.
One thing that's really cool about a lot of this game,
I like the delay there.
Those interesting delays. Like, this sounds so crazy for
I wonder if like that was just on like the same instrument, or if that was like a separate channel that they did delay. I'm not really sure. It sounds like, I don't know, it's something really impressive sounding about that delay.
Yeah.
For the NES.
Well, at that section, there's just the bass line and melody. There's no harmony there.
So
they're able
channel.
To use the other channel, but
that makes sense.
It sounds so crazy. It's really cool.
Okay, well, the next track I'm going to play, actually one of my few NES tracks I have, unlike someone here. I think I only have two NES tracks today.
Sorry.
I didn't realize this was the NES episode, but...
Yeah, I kind of went overboard.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, this is whatever you felt like playing. You know, I'm not here to judge. This is a track that I actually discovered this week for the first time, and actually, Will, I don't think you've ever heard this track before, and I think...
We'll see.
I think you're going to like it. This is the ending... theme to a game called Starship Hector, an NES game composed by Kinoko Kunimoto. I think I'm pronouncing that right. So this is the ending to Starship Hector. Starship Hector. What do you think about that?
Okay, I have like a new favorite. That kicks ass. Yeah. After like the first 2 seconds, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this.
I knew you were going to love that track. That's honestly one of the reasons I picked it.
It's so show-tuny. It reminds me of Rainbow Connection from the Muppets movie.
Yeah, I like how it goes into like the slower swung feel halfway through. That's also very showtimey. It is perfect for an ending. It's
okay,
like the
is that
of a
like
show.
A Starship battle game?
I have no idea.
I mean, a lot of those NES games, the end credits don't really fit the
game. I can almost
game.
Guarantee you, though, that it has nothing, like, it does not fit the feel of the rest of the game. I feel like for so many of those NES ending songs.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah, can you say that man's name again? Because I think he deserves some credit.
Kinoko Kunimoto.
Or maybe it's a girl. Sorry. I have no idea.
Yeah, but whoever it was, he or she just did a great job with that track.
Well, I mean, but now I have to come and battle it with an even better one from DuckTales. Again, Yoshiro Sakaguchi. This is, I think, my favorite that I have picked out for today.
Yeah, surprisingly, we just got into this DuckTales a couple weeks ago, so this is a fairly recent discovery for us, but I think we both agree that this track
well,
is...
Well, I've actually known this song for a long time.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know it was from DuckTales.
Exactly.
But
yeah, I knew of it too, but it's one of the best 8-bit songs, I think, ever.
It'll speak for itself. Let's play it. It's The Moon from DuckTales. the Moon from DuckTales, and every time I hear that, I just want to hear it again.
Why is that from DuckTales? That's my question. I feel like he wrote it for something else, and it never was released, and oh, we'll use that for DuckTales.
No, man, he just has a great work ethic. I love that crazy... It starts off with that, and then slowly some colors build around it, and then it's like constant throughout the whole song. Except when you get to this B section.
It's one of the fullest sounding NES tracks I've ever heard, actually.
It's a brilliant idea to have that arpeggiated line. And it's the same line. Like, the notes never change. It doesn't, like, change to fit the chord. It's that constant arpeggiated line. I think that contributes to some of the fullness.
Exactly.
Because there's some of those, like, I don't know, there's a little bit of dissonance there.
Who was the composer again for that
game? His name is Yoshiro Sakaguchi.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know what else he did. And actually, another interesting thing, I think that game boasts the best 8-bit version of any, like, popular song.
Oh, yeah, the theme song from the TV show. That's a great song.
It's a perfect 8-bit rendition of it.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, it's great. We should move on to what you got,
though. Yeah, we should move on. The next track I have is... it's called Chicago from the game Perfect Dark for the Nintendo 64.
A rare game.
Yeah, it's pretty much, in some ways, kind of like the successor to GoldenEye. It used an advanced GoldenEye engine.
Yeah.
Developed by the same team. And this is by Grant Kirkhope. He did the music for this game.
Did he also do GoldenEye?
I think he did work on GoldenEye. Him and there's another composer that I'll get to later on. They were kind of, I think they worked on a lot of those games together.
Right, right.
But this is Grant Kirkhope. The track is called Chicago. It's a very kind of melancholy, slow track.
Yeah, I like this one.
Here it is. Very slow, very sparse, but all the parts are perfect for it. The strings, the melody, the bass line, the drums, a really slow drum beat.
That drum beat is perfect.
And I love the theremin. It's almost the exact same instrument from Mystic Cave Zone from Sonic 2. It's really not much better, but it really works well.
Ooh, is this like a whistle?
Yeah, that's just probably the best song from that game.
Yeah, definitely. And unfortunately, it's to a not very good level in the game.
Yeah, that level's very frustrating.
It's kind of weird. But that's not what we're talking about, and we remember it because that song is so kick-ass.
What do you got next, Will?
Oh, what do I got next? Going back to the Castlevania series, this one is from... I just got one from this game.
Wait, are you playing an NES track now?
Yeah, actually.
Wow, okay. Sorry, I'm just kind of
surprised. This is from Castlevania III: Dracula's Curse, and three composers that worked on this game, Hidenori Miyazawa, Jun Funahashi and Yuki Morimoto.
Oh, Yuki, of course.
I'm sorry, I'm butchering these names. I feel like I'm so disrespectful because the music's so great, but...
We're going to get some negative comments for that.
Anyways, I'm just playing one from this game, and this is the prelude or the prologue from the game. And I want you to take a listen. It has a very eerie feeling. Like, it's much more like... bone-chilling and haunting than some of the stuff from the first Castlevania. And I think each Castlevania game slowly progressed to get a little bit more...
Yeah, that's kind of what we were saying. So it's not as goofy.
Some of the music in the game is fairly goofy, but it's good.
Okay,
it's
here is Prelude. Thank you.
That is Prologue or Prelude from Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse.
It's a great track.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous. It almost sounds like something you'd maybe hear in like a church.
Yes, perfect. Yeah, I could hear it on a church organ. That's kind of what they meant by prelude. I think
yeah, it's very good. It's almost like a... It's a perfect start to the game, because this game is actually a prequel to the original, so it's in like more of a almost medieval setting.
Okay. Yeah, that's just hauntingly beautiful. That's great. The next track I'm going to play is from a game called Super Bomberman 2.
Oh, I love this one.
For the Super Nintendo. Yeah, me and Will used to play this
I
game
didn't
for,
know you were
for
playing
a long
this.
Time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is a treat for me.
This is composed by Yoshihiko Fukuda. This is called Battle Music 3 from Super Bomberman 2 for the SNES.
I think it just goes without saying, just fun battle music.
I love the panning, the stereo panning is really effective because the delay is on one channel and the melody is on the other channel. Yeah, that's cool.
I love those Bomberman games. Me and Carl, we went through like a phase where we got addicted to playing Bomberman multiplayer.
Yeah. With good reason. They're very fun. What do you got, Will?
Oh, what do I got? Well, now I'm moving over to a 16-bit console, not the NES.
Wow.
I know, it's a big step for me. This is F-Zero from the Super Nintendo, and the music for this game was composed by Yumiko Kanaki and Naoto Ishida. And the first track I'm playing is one of the more popular ones
probably
from this
game.
Probably
the most famous F-Zero track.
It's probably my faves from the game. Yeah. It's Big Blue. It's the second stage. Let's hear it.
Here we go.
Big Blue from F-Zero.
Yeah, I don't think there's a better track that's well-suited for YouTube guitar players to make remixes that just shred. That's like totally tailor-made for that. I'm sure there's millions of videos of those.
Yeah, that...
I mean, I think even in the Smash Brothers remixes, I think they have, like, you know, shredding guitar solos for that.
This also has some very interesting stereo panning for the little, I like to call it the twinkly.
Yeah, the little shimmering colors.
I think I developed that term. You know, Carl makes... Oh, should I get into this now?
Go for it.
Okay, so basically you've probably figured out both me and Carl are nerds, video game nerds. We love video game music, and we're musicians. So we've tried our hand in emulating some of our favorite composers' styles and sounds. And especially Carl, he's made 3 albums of Sonic music that are fantastic. And they're online. You should definitely check them out. It's called Sonic-esque. There's 3 great albums. Definitely check it out. But anyways, back to what I was saying, that twinkly sound. When Carl used to write some of that stuff and he would always show it to me, there'd be certain little, I don't know, colors like that. Mm-hmm. And I called it the twinkly.
Yeah,
but
those are really important for this era of 16-bit gaming. The little shimmering colors underneath to give it more fullness.
Yeah, we should really post some links to the Sonic-esque stuff on our blogs.
I'm not going to argue with that. Sounds good. Okay, the next track I'm going to play is from a game called Time Splitters 2. And this was composed by the other guy I was mentioning, who usually worked with Grant Kirkhope.
Graham Norgate?
For Rare. Yeah, Graham Norgate is his name, another British guy who composes for Rare. And when the team that was behind GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, when they left Rare, they actually formed their own company called Free Radical. Right. And Time Splitters was the first game they made. This is Time Splitters 2. This came out for the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube. This is a track, a multiplayer map, and this is called Mexican Mission. Mission, composed by Graham Norgate.
Oh my god, I love that part. Did we get to it yet? That little rhythmic thing in the background. Oh.
Castanets, I think, yeah. This is a really cool track. I love how this game, a lot of the Time Splitters game, are like kind of techno soundtracks.
Yeah. Me and Carl played this a lot when we were younger.
Oh yes, for the GameCube.
Yeah.
Great track. What do you got, Will?
Oh, back to me. I have another one from F-Zero, another 16-bit console game. And this is a very pretty one. It's called Silence.
Here it is.
F-Zero. That's very beautiful. I love how it starts off and it's sort of mellow and, oh, you don't know what's going to happen.
And then
it just...
funk kicks in. One of the funkiest bass lines I've ever heard.
Definitely.
So Japanese sounding. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's great. In the interest of time, though, I think we should move on to another one of yours.
Yeah, I think it's fitting. I also have kind of a rocky song from a driving game, too.
Ooh.
This is actually from a PC DOS game from way back in the day called 40 Sports Driving.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, I totally did.
Oh, my God.
Some people refer to it as stunts, but...
I probably haven't heard this in forever.
For years. Yeah, this is the main menu theme, and this is composed by Michael J. Sokirta, Christian Hatteld, and Brian Plank. So this is the main menu theme from 40 Sports Driving.
We'll be right back.
like this song was actually really important for me musically, like, because I remember listening to this as a kid. I feel like this was kind of laid the foundation for a lot of my music.
Yeah. Oh God. I totally remember this whole era. It's just etched into my mind. Mm-hmm. This game, our old black Casio keyboard, you playing keys.
Yeah, this is a really cool track.
Oh, this is so nostalgic for me.
I would stay on this main menu for a long time.
Yeah, I remember that.
This is a great game. You should check this out.
We should get a DOS computer. I kind of miss having to mount the C drive.
Yep. All right. So what do you got next there, Will Boy?
Oh, me. This is a... I've probably downgraded in your eyes, but I'm going back to NES. This is from a game called Blaster Master. And the composer of this game is Naoki Kodaka. And this is for the first area in the game, Area 1. This is... a great track. It has some very interesting rhythmic things going on. You should check it out.
So what is this called, Will?
This is called Area 1 from Blaster Master.
This is a cool track.
Anyways, this is Area 1 from Blaster Master, written by Naoki Kodaka. This game is really cool. It has a lot of good music, but this sort of theme, it's almost like what we were talking about with Koji Kondo, with in some of his games he would do like a theme and variation. That sort of pertains to this game as well. I think there's about three tracks that sort of use that general theme. I was actually going to play some of the other ones, but they're too similar sounding, and I wanted to, you know, expand out into some other games. But yeah, that one's really cool. I really like the rhythmic, that dun 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 dun. It almost sounds like a record skip, like it's going on like a beat too long.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, that I totally know what you mean. Okay, so I'm going to play a track. Actually, this is NES. This is from The Legend of Zelda 2.
And this is actually... I should have thought of doing that.
This is actually an incredibly well-known track, but most people just know it from the Super Smash Brothers games. And
really?
I'm sure a lot of people...
I think a lot of people know this
I think
one.
A lot of people don't that just play those games casually that have, I guarantee have never played Zelda 2 and don't know that this is from Zelda 2.
I guess that's
2.
True.
Because it's on a lot of the Zelda stages, but I think a lot of people just thought it was composed for the Smash Brothers games. Because it does sound really good with those new instruments. But here this is called Shrine from Legend of Zelda 2. Akito Nakatsuka. This is Shrine from Legend of Zelda 2.
Yeah, one of the few Zelda games not composed by Koji Kondo, but this
kind of goofy.
A
lot of his music in this game is like totally modeled after the Koji music. Like,
oh, yeah.
The overworld, it starts off the same, and then he goes into like a worse version of
that theme. That's really a way to disappoint fans of the game. Just start off with, oh, it's the Zelda theme, but no, it's not.
But no, he did a great job with this track, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of great music in this game. Yeah. I think it's an underrated game.
Mm-hmm. It was different, though. Wasn't it kind of like a side-scrolling?
It was a side-scrolling sort of RPG thing, and a lot of Zelda fans like to rip on it, but it was very influential for the rest of the series. And you got to keep in mind, when it came out, there were only two Zelda games, and one of them was an overhead adventure game, and one of them was a side-scrolling RPG. There wasn't like a whole
So it's not like they're going against an entire series. It's just one game. Yeah. That's interesting, though.
Anyways, I have one from, well, this is a guy that I think I briefly mentioned last week, but I've been waiting to get to him. He's one of my favorite composers. His name is Hirokazu Tanaka, also known as Hip Tanaka, because his music's pretty hip. And
did he apply that nickname himself?
Yeah, I think he actually did. It's probably written that way in some of the credits for some of the NES games. Anyways, he's probably most famous for composing the music to the original Metroid on NES, or the Famicom in Japan. And he has a very interesting style. A lot of his music, he is what I was talking about last week, where he sort of wanted to blur the line between sound effects and
music.
Thank you. I couldn't remember what's that word. Well, we have a whole podcast about it. But yeah, it doesn't translate so well into the NES versions, but his music's great. I'm actually not playing anything from Metroid today. I'm playing a track from Kid Icarus, and this is Underworld by Hirokazu Hip Tanaka. This is Underworld from Kid Icarus.
Kind of a goofy track.
I love this one. I think it's great. I love that sort of, I don't know, the melody and harmony sort of coexist at some points, but then it's sort of moving all over the place.
Now, you definitely like this track a lot more than I do. I don't find it that amazing. I like his style.
I love
he definitely has his own kind of style, but I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of this track, but I'm glad you like it so much.
Wow. I guess some people just don't have the taste required for Hip Tanaka music.
Okay, so I'm actually going to go, like, you know, way into the future here, and I'm going to play a track from a pretty modern game. This is a game called James Bond Everything or Nothing. This came out for, the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube. This is a really fun game, actually. And the music was composed by Sean Callery, and he's a really talented composer, American. And he is probably most well-known for composing the music for this TV series 24. He has definitely his own kind of signature sound. But what's great about the soundtrack to Everything or Nothing is that it was fully orchestrated. And it's really fun, very high-energy music. So this is, I think, the second or third level in the game. This is called Train Chase, composed by Sean Callery.
I almost forgot that that was orchestrated.
Mm-hmm. It really adds a lot of kind of authentic feel to that game.
Very.
You should really play that game. Anyone listening who hasn't played it.
Yeah, it's really fun. Very James Bondy. If you're a Bond fan, I think you'll appreciate the little elements in the game that might harken back to some of the older movies.
What you got, Will?
Oh, me? In rebellion of your last comment of the Underworld song, which I love, I'm going to play another Hip Tanaka track, and this is from Super Mario Land from the Game Boy. I'm almost moving almost more farther back from the NES. It's technically newer than the NES, but maybe the sound isn't as good. But this is a great track. This is the first overworld, or it's called Birabuto Kingdom from Super Mario Land. Super Mario Land.
What a happy track.
Yeah.
I like that track a lot.
I feel he's definitely trying to go for some Koji elements a lot in this game.
But he's still true to his own compositional style. You could still tell that's him.
One thing I really like about this one is the way the, I guess you'd call it the left hand and the piano, a lot of this older 8-bit style stuff, it has very sort of staccato sound and sort of a moving bass line. But this is just sort of... It's almost like it's all slurred together. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
There's a lot of tracks in this game that are great, but in the
interest of time... That was for the Game Boy, right?
Yeah, this is for the
like
Game Boy.
Yeah, I like how it's really similar to the Nintendo sound, but there's kind of like something even cuter about the sounds of the Game Boy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to play another very modern... Well, not very, but, you know, relatively modern track. This is from that same generation for the GameCube, Xbox, and PS2. This is from a composer, very, very talented composer, called Jesper Kidd. And he did the music for Hitman and Hitman 2, as well as a really great game that me and Will are big fans of called Freedom Fighters. Those all came out for like the same kind of generation.
Good
but
game.
I'm going to play a track from Hitman 2. This is the main title composed by Jesper Kidd.
From Freedom Fighters? It sounds so similar.
Yeah, he kind of has, he definitely has a signature sound. This is the main title from Hitman 2, composed by Jesper Kidd. He has his own style for sure. He loves using full, like, choirs in his games and orchestras.
Yeah, at first when he was playing it, I'm like, is this from Freedom Fighters? Because it sounds kind of similar.
Oh, sorry, I don't think I specified yet. This is from Hitman 2, but it could also be from Freedom Fighters.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, great track.
I forgot how many games of that era were orchestrated.
Yeah.
I guess I played too much Nintendo.
Obviously. What do you got there, Will Boy?
Oh, me? Well, now I'm moving back up to a 16-bit console again. And actually, it's another racing game. And it's Super Mario Kart. And the music in this game is by Soyo Oka and Taro Bando. And the first track I'm playing is called Koopa Beach.
Here we go.
Thank you. Koopa Beach from Super Mario Kart.
Yeah, this is, I feel, this kind of laid the foundation for Kenta Nagata's kind of tropical songs he made from Mario Kart 64.
Yeah, we talked about him last episode.
It's a great track.
I really like when that that sort of higher instrument comes in. Right there.
Oh, okay.
It's really cool.
I had no idea what you meant when you sang that. I could not tell, but now I get it.
Also, the chords change the second time that melody loops. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, this is a very authentic kind of elevator Latin song.
Very pretty.
So that was from Mario Kart, Super Mario Kart, right?
Yeah, Super Mario Kart, written by Soyo Oko and Taro Bando.
Well, I'm going to play another 16-bit era track. This is from the Sega Genesis, and this is from a game called Sonic & Knuckles.
Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
Nice. This game was just composed by Howard Drosen, actually. He worked on Sonic 3 with like a million other people, but this this game, he was the only composer. And this is, I think, probably his best track from this game. This is Lava Reef Zone Act 1 for the Sega Genesis. And I love this track.
Hope you would, being the Sonic lover that you are.
Yeah, I am kind of obsessed with Sonic music. But this track is really a big influence for me for a lot of my Sonic-esque music. I feel like I used his idea of the Latin kind of ostinato and kind of Latin rock feel for like a lot of my tracks. And I really love the instrument he used. Maybe it's a harp. I'm not sure what it was trying to be, but it's kind of that really kind of plucked pizzicato sound.
Yeah, I remember multiple times when you were working on it and when we'd go in and try to pick instruments, because I would sometimes help Carl pick the instruments he'd use. Mm-hmm. I remember we were like, oh, what's that one instrument? And the only example would be from Lava Reef.
Yeah, no, that's just a really, really well done track. Yeah, I love the use of the kind of it's kind of like this ostinato that is using like the bass and that little that plucked instrument.
Yeah.
And the really interesting melody over it, it's kind of I keep on saying the word melancholy in a lot of these melodies that I pick, but it really is, and it fits the level really well. The second act is not nearly as good.
Yeah, there's that one part in the bass though where it goes like d-d-d-d-d-d-d.
And the bass, the brass does those really good slides. Yeah.
It also has a really cool reverb sound there, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, that's kind of signature for a lot of the later Sonic music, like from Sonic 3 and Sonic & Knuckles. It has it's just a really kind of authentic sound to it. And I think one part of that was the use of the delay and reverb. Well, I don't know if it's actually reverb, but it sounds like it. It could just
sounds
be delay.
Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so moving back over to Super Mario Kart, this is another one of mine that I'm playing for you by Soyo Oko and Taro Bando. This is Donut Plains.
Here we go!
Donut Plains from Super Mario Kart. I really like this one. I really agree that this definitely helps set the foundation for what Kenta Nagata did in the later Mario Kart games.
Definitely.
In that B section, there's that chord progression where it's like
the
bottom note of the triad stays the same, but the third and fifth sort of go up one each time. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like some of the music in that game was kind of Koji inspired.
Uh-huh, totally. I mean, it's like when you were composing Super Mario Kart, and it's like, I wonder how we're going to, you know, what should we do for this music? Well, okay, let's use the Mario games as a kind of a foundation.
Yeah, definitely.
But they kind of took it in a different direction.
Oh, yeah, very unique style. I really dig that one. Those melodies just really get stuck in your head.
Again, I mean, probably a little bit less extreme than Mario Kart 64, but I feel like a big part of the enjoyment of Super Mario Kart was the music.
Definitely.
In some ways, I feel like Super Mario Kart, like as far as the game goes, in some ways was better than Mario Kart 64. Like, even though it's hard to play it nowadays, it was really revolutionary at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel, we talked about this last time, where Mario Kart 64, I feel like if it wasn't for that music, that game, there's just technically there's a lot of problems with it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
it's classic.
That's still pretty impressive for its time. Those battle modes and
yeah, no, that's true. It's definitely classic. I just feel like the music was a huge part of why that game was fun, and I think that's true for this game as well.
For sure, having a two-player game where you could both play split screen was sort of a big deal back then.
And they had battle in the original Super Mario Kart. Actually, yeah, which a lot of people kind of forget about. But okay, so I'm gonna play another modern song, and this is actually a Wario Land game. It's called Wario Land Shake It, and this is for the Wii. So this is, I think, so far the most modern game we've played.
Didn't Intelligent Systems do this game?
I believe they did. Yeah,
yeah, they also did Kirby Epic Yarn, which is another new game. I wonder if that is good music.
And they did Super Metroid and
Super Paper Mario.
Oh, yeah.
They have a good track record.
Yes, they do. They have pretty much like a flawless track record. So this is from Wario Land Shake It. It's composed by Tomoya Tamita, and this is a track called Stone Carving City Return. So in the game, you'd play a level, and then you'd at the very end of the level, you'd have to go all the way. You'd have to backtrack, and the music would like amp up and turn. It'd be like a remix, but it would be usually the best music is always from the return parts of the levels.
I remember that was the same with Wario Land 4.
Exactly. So this is Stone Carving City Return. Carving City Return. One thing that's a little bit funny about it is it starts off like it sounds almost like real instruments. The drums, I think, are real, and the piano and bass. But then when the saxophone comes in, it's hilarious.
One thing I really like about this, I feel like this is almost what the evolution of video game music would have been like if they kept in the style that they did in the 8-bit. This is pretty much the same style as old school retro games, except with
modern,
an infinite like amount of channels that they can use, and
that's a really good point. That's really something that should be said about this game. I think it kind of blew me away because the music was very melodic and felt like a video game, like really classic video game music, but it was with modern instruments.
Yeah,
I wish I could see more of that nowadays.
Which is, I think it's pretty cool, because I still feel like one of the reasons some of the old school music is so good is because of the limitations. They were forced to make it good, otherwise it wouldn't be memorable.
And this definitely isn't as good as a lot of those, but it's close.
It's going for that.
Yeah. All right, so...
Oh, is it my turn?
I think this is your last track, right?
Oh, this is my last track. And this is from a game... It's not very good, but the music is
So let's not play it, then.
It's A Nightmare on Elm Street. I know, right? Oh, let's adapt a scary slasher movie into a goofy NES game. Not a very good idea, and it was given to a not very good studio, LJN, but it was published by Rare, And okay. So a good thing came out of that. David Weiss, great composer,
the man.
Did the music for this game. So I'm going to play the theme of Elm Street. This is just when you're running around Elm Street. This okay. is a pretty cool track.
Here it is.
Elm Street from A Nightmare on Elm Street, composed by David Weiss.
Pretty cool track.
Yeah, I really like it. It's the game is sort of, it doesn't really capture the spirit of a slasher film, but it's sort of campy and it's kind of fun.
You can hear the Dave Wise in there.
Yeah, I really like it. It's very catchy. It's mm-hmm. again, it's another sort of really long cadence.
Yeah.
And I like those parts where it just sort of goes like do 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 yeah. do. Like I don't know, it's trying to go for something sort of creepy.
You said the game's pretty bad though.
Yeah, the game's pretty bad. The enemies are incredibly generic. Like uh-huh. you fight like Frankenstein monsters and like ghosts and like it. It's not that frightening, but it wasn't a very good idea to begin with.
Okay, well, the last track I'm gonna play for the day is from Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Which has some of my favorite music of all time. For me, again, incredibly influential. And this game was composed by just so many people, and there's really no way to tell who did what song. We kind of mentioned, I don't know if it was last time or the time before, that Michael Jackson was, you know, did actually work on a couple tracks. But in addition to Michael, the composers of this game were Brad Buxer, Bobby Brooks. Those two guys, I think, were actually... had worked with Michael before. I think they were like songwriters who worked for Michael. Jeff Grace, Doug Grigsby III, Daryl Ross, Howard Drosen, John Senaway, and Takahito Iwabato. So all those people worked on Sonic 3. So I don't know which of those did this, but this is actually a multiplayer level. This is called Endless Mine, and it's one of my favorite tracks from the game. I just love that track.
Yeah,
that reminds me of my childhood. It's a very nostalgic, melancholy melody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Really
so
pretty.
Gorgeous.
Later on, it has, again, the Mystic Cave Zone kind of theremin.
Right.
Really big vibrato sound. But such a pretty song. I love that song.
God, I really love that. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm really curious as to which composer actually wrote the multiplayer music.
Yeah, because a lot of the music for these games has a very coherent sound.
Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of surprising. Like, if you didn't tell someone, I don't think they would say, yeah, this music seemed like it was composed by 8 people. Like, it seems like mm-hmm. it was composed by 1, but...
Well, I'm sure, I feel like some of those people that worked with Michael Jackson, they probably didn't compose, they probably just helped translate mm-hmm. his
yeah.
ideas into, like, an actual form that they could put into a game.
Exactly, yeah. later on in future episodes, we'll have to play definitely some more music from this game.
Yeah, one of the greats. Well, I think that concludes all the music that we have for you today.
Yeah, that was, man, that went by really fast. That was fun.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, we'll definitely do another one of these.
For sure.
But yeah, you should definitely comment on our blog.
Not definitely. I mean, if you want to, you
but
should.
You're free to, but we would really appreciate it if you commented.
We would.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about maybe, what should we get, like, a Twitter? Should we get a Twitter?
That's a very good idea. I think we'll have to talk about that off air, because I feel like that's a big decision that I don't want to be pressured into making right now. So
I'm pulling the old tactic, like, you know, you don't want to embarrass yourself
in front of
everyone.
Millions so of people.
You'll cave into my demands.
In
anyways,
front of five people.
Anyways, yeah, definitely comment. Definitely. And thank you for listening to us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. We're going to play you out with The Moon again from DuckTales, because it's such a awesome track.
Yeah,
so
it's a great track.
Thanks for listening. This is the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast. I'm Carl Brueggemann.
I'm Will Brueggemann. Thanks for joining us, you guys. Have a very good week.